Good morning, everybody. It's good to come and to worship together. And if you remember at the end of last week's service, I told you to go. But I want you to stay just for a little bit longer, just while we start thinking about, again, God's great commission, God's mission, working and making his mission ours as we celebrate this month, Ascension and Pentecost together. And as we think about Jesus being the fulfillment of so many of God's promises in the Old Testament, and a few verses from Isaiah. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And Catherine Hawker wrote a call to worship based on those verses. Soft summer rain falling on parched earth, waters of God flow down upon us. Torrential floods ripping lives into pieces. Waters of God, have mercy upon us. Soaking waters which nourish the seed. Waters of God, replenish us. Amen. Let's sing number 315. I will sing the wondrous story.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we've just sung your praises, I pray, Lord, that praise will be on our lips, not just here in this building, but as we leave this place later. I thank you that through Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you are changing us. We praise and thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for your love to us in Jesus. We thank you that he died to make us new. We thank you for his glorious resurrection and your promise, O Lord, to change us completely. We praise you for all the gifts with which you fill our lives and the joy that we can have in using them for you. We thank you for the gift of life and for those who share each day with us. We thank you that you surround us with family and friends. We thank you for those who share our hopes and our fears, our joys and our sorrows. We thank you that as we worship, we can find you in the hymn words through your word, the Bible, and through the gift of your creation. We thank you that we can see and hear and enjoy everything around us that is good. Lord, may we take time just to pause in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives, just to take stock of all that you have done for us, how much you love us, and the beauty of your creation. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a commission. We thank you that you help us. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the strength we need, Lord, when it's hard. It's easy to love those that are like us, but it's hard, Lord, when people are different. So we thank you for helping us to love those who are unkind, to care for those who are lonely, and to forgive those who have hurt us most. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for not trusting you enough, for not allowing you to change our lives, perhaps for not forgiving those who have hurt us and let us down. Through your love, O Lord, help us to begin again. Lord, we pray for our world in which there is so much pain and there seems to be so little caring, so much sorrow and so little understanding, so much fear and anxiety and loneliness. Lord, we pray that we would be that spark that would make a difference for our nation, for our town, for our community, where so many are filled with despair and depression and defeat. Lord, we pray through the grace of Christ that you would open blind eyes and deaf ears to your love. We pray for our sisters and brothers who are persecuted for their faith in Christ, for whom the path of discipleship is hard and painful, and Lord, in so many cases they have to give up so much. Lord, we pray for those countries that are caught up in the horror of civil war. And we pray for those, Lord, who try to live out their faith in obedience to you. Lord, empower them and strengthen them. And Lord, may our prayers continue for them as they say how much it supports them when we pray. And so, Lord, we pray for our church, that it may be filled with a greater awareness of what it means to be open to God. For congregations everywhere, that we would be seeking earnestly the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit's presence. For a greater urgency and desire to be filled with the love of God. We pray for ourselves here that we would be more and more eager to receive all that God has to give and more aware of our responsibility to love our neighbours. Lord, for churches everywhere, we pray that the Holy Spirit would transform our worship and enthuse our praise. Lord, be with us in all that we seek to do. We pray for ourselves and our own walk with Christ. For those moments, Lord, of stress and worry. But Lord, as we continue in our worship, we pray that it would be full of joy and hope, firmly rooted in your Holy Spirit. That our witness for Christ may bring others to a knowledge of him and his love. So, Lord, as we pray, may the grace of Christ hold us fast, because we know that you hear our prayer. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we come to our reading this morning, it includes the last teachings recorded in Luke, there's your clue, prior to Jesus' ascension. We know throughout, particularly the Gospel of Luke, that Christ told the disciples of his death and resurrection several times. He introduced his ministry by quoting the Old Testament. And he also fulfilled countless promises, descriptions, and comments from the Old Testament. And Jesus shows the disciples that he is the subject of the Old Testament. And so as we come to some of Jesus' last words to his disciples, I'll ask Brian if he'll give us our reading.
Oh, sorry, glasses needed. You'll find the reading from Luke chapter 24 on page 1062 of the Pew Bibles, if you wish to follow it. Jesus appears to the disciples. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what it is written. the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Amen.
As we hear those verses again, everything written must be fulfilled, but not everything is fulfilled yet. We know that the devil still prowls around. He has not yet been banished to eternal torment. Jesus is coming again soon to take the throne that he is worthy of. And as we know, sadly, Israel does not yet acknowledge their Messiah. The crucifixion and the resurrection make the fulfillment of future prophecies possible. But in the meantime, we have a commission to complete. Go and make disciples of all nations. And as we think about that again, we'll sing number 673, There is a Redeemer, remembering that the Holy Spirit goes with us. So you don't creak. She assures me it is the stool and not her. Let's pray. Miraculous God, come to us now, even as your Son came to those first disciples on the shores of Galilee in the locked rooms. Speak your peace to our hearts. Touch us with your Holy Spirit. Reveal your word that we may hear your message this day and live as your disciples in the days and years to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to talk today about a time of preparation. What are you like when it comes to preparing for something? Maybe. Yeah, I can see the disorganized ones pointing at the organized ones and saying, please don't ask me. Maybe it's in a major event, maybe it's a minor task or a major task. Could be a journey, an interview, just going to bake a cake. Could be a DIY project, a spring clean, it is the season, a declutter. Said to Pauline earlier, I'm going to sort out the study. I'm going to leave a trail of breadcrumbs so you know where I last went in. Are you a headlong in kind of person, or are you a meticulous planner? Stop looking at your friend, Philippa. Do you have to have a bit of a brainstorm, considering all of the what ifs? What if I did it this way? What if I did it that way? What could go wrong if I did it that way? Do you break the task down into smaller, manageable steps? My friend used to say, break it down into elephant burgers. You can't eat a whole elephant, but you can eat elephant burgers. Yeah, at that point I wanted to go vegetarian. Perhaps if it's local enough, do you have a dry run to the location just to make sure you know where it is so that when you need to go, you can just drive straight there? Yeah. See, I've done a lot of listening over the last 10 years. How do you prepare yourself mentally and physically? Are you good at waiting? Well, we know the answer to that question because I ask it a lot of weeks and the answer comes back, no. Today's reading got me wondering what preparation God was putting the disciples through as they find themselves back in that room again. Some commentaries say we're not quite sure where they were, but I think we can be pretty sure that they're somewhere in Jerusalem, probably in the room that they've had since Passover. And they're waiting and they're wondering, but they're also, they're on pause, aren't they, before action? Because Jesus has said, wait, wait. You know, we don't like it when Jesus says wait. We'd rather he just said yes so we can go full headlong into it. We usually have to undergo a period of preparation before enjoying any satisfaction of a job well done. And as I was thinking about the passage, as I do, I wonder too, what is God preparing us as a church for as we move forward with him? Because we always move forward with God. What is he preparing for each of us as individuals? Central to Jesus' preparation of his disciples during the 40 days was giving them first-hand evidence that he was alive from the dead. We pick that up throughout the end of the Gospels and into Luke's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I think if it was important then, it's just as important today. Whatever anyone else tells us, the resurrection is the one thing that makes Jesus stand out as being different to every other religious leader in history. Whilst their tombs are occupied, Jesus's is empty. Hallelujah. That's why we're here worshipping a living God. Although Jesus told them that he would rise on the third day, none really seemed to have expected it. But as Jesus continued to appear, we get a sense of growing anticipation, of excitement, as well as confirmation and assurance and hope. You don't look very assured or hopeful. Good. As we focus on the events of those 40 days and piece together the gospel accounts, and as I said, we find more in Acts chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus appeared either to individuals or groups on numerous occasions, and we read as many as 500 at one time. Our reading is on day 40, the day of Jesus' ascension. We'll cover that next week, because Ascension Thursday is the week after. The disciples, we believe, are back in Jerusalem. And you think about the last few weeks as we've been thinking about and travelling with all of the disciples and those that have encountered Jesus, the women and others. They've been from that lockdown situation of being in that upper room, scared to go out. Some of them have gone to Galilee, been by the sea, they've been up a mountain, and now they're back in Jerusalem and they've been told to wait. They now recognise both Jesus' voice and eventually his appearance, yet he is somehow different. Their testimony, as we know from now that we have the Bible, is the remainder of the New Testament. And nearly 2,000 years of Christian history witnesses that Jesus remains alive today. And he is with us in his spirit, as he promised, preparing us as he prepared those first disciples. And I think, not just on a Sunday morning, but through our own private prayer times, it's worth just taking time to reread those accounts in the Gospels, in Acts, in Corinthians, to reflect and rejoice on the truth that Jesus really is alive. It might change the way that we live our lives. Jesus is alive. In our readings today, we see an emphasis on preparation. It does somehow parallel some of the other readings that we get in the other Gospels. We realize that the main reason why Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days rather than ascending to heaven immediately, was to complete the training program for his disciples. We call it discipleship now. We see the disciples. First of all, we can feel their fear, observe their fear, being changed into joy as they realize that the Lord is indeed in their midst and they can touch his physical body. And then as we get to verse 44, he says, "Everything I told you while I was with you comes to this. All the things written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets and in the Psalms have to be fulfilled." We see a similar encounter with the other disciples on the Emmaus Road. But this involves the wider group of Jesus' disciples. They're trying to make sense of what is happening in their lives. If we read those verses in the Message Bible, he went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles his way. He opens their minds to understand that Christ himself had to suffer, but then would rise from the dead. The truth of the Easter story hits them, that Christ himself had to suffer, but Jesus is back. The Jesus that they saw die, he is alive. It was this teaching that transformed those men from being confused, discouraged, and fearful into bold, courageous witnesses who were willing to die for their faith and mission. Our Lord's teaching here isn't just for the apostles, it's for our commission too. Every member of Christ's church is to be involved in seeking first the kingdom of God and then all that that involves. We are to make Christ's purpose our purpose. Here he spells out what our mission is and how we fulfill it. That's the preparation, that we know the basic plan of salvation. Then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in the name, his name, to all nations. The salvation, the mercy, the grace that each one of us has received from our Lord Jesus Christ becomes our story that we then can go and share. Go forth and tell, as I said, and Debbie reminded me at the end of last service. In spelling out his mission, Jesus mentions the source of it, namely that it is God's word. That's why we have to look and read our Bibles. Gives the subject of his mission, which is the work that Jesus himself accomplished on the cross, and the necessary, our necessary response to it. And the scope, the mission to the whole world. I've been asking God for a transfer to Barbados for many years. But still I wait. Just as Jesus had explained to the men on the Emmaus Road things concerning himself, here he explains that all things must be fulfilled. And the word must is the same Greek word that we find earlier on in the chapter, pointing to the necessity of God's sovereign plan being fulfilled. Luke wants each of us to know that the death of Christ was not an accident, nor ultimately the result of sinful men getting their own way. It was God's sovereign purpose in fulfillment of so many Old Testament scriptures. It's clear that the disciples are to preach the message. They have been eyewitnesses to Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection, and they can confirm all of those things. So long as Jesus' disciples and us are led by the Spirit, we can fulfill the mission to go, because the Holy Spirit goes with us. It doesn't matter about the narrative. We don't have to be eloquent in our words. Hurrah. It doesn't matter the approach that we use, because we are being led by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we listen to the disciples receiving their mission, what are our feelings? You are to be witnesses to all that you have seen and heard. On that final day before the ascension, Jesus promised the disciples a gift that would not only change their lives, but would empower them to go and change the world. I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but wait until you are clothed from on high. We read that Jesus, clothed with God's power, is mighty in word and deed and about to ascend into heaven. If you remember back in when we were doing Bible study up through Lent, Jesus said, "It is good that I should go." And we're like, really? Much rather have Jesus next to me. Until we realize the power of his Holy Spirit. The disciples wait and pray for the promise to come before they receive a mighty outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later. Acts 1 says that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They would be immersed by him by receiving power from on high. They will be able to say and do the acts as servants of God. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles, all that the apostles did. As we perhaps one day will read through again the Acts of the Apostles and see what was done, perhaps we can consider our own community in the acts of ourselves as apostles, as we speak and share our story, as I always say, one conversation at a time. It's not quite as onerous then, is it, as the disciples' first commission. We need to hear the word, to accept his word, to follow his word, and to spread his word. We need the same power of the Holy Spirit today. All real Christians have been born of the Spirit. But to experience the Spirit's power, we must wait before him in prayer, seeking his time and his way. As we obey Jesus' command to wait for the power, we seek his wisdom. As we expect and pray for the power of the Spirit, we will be rewarded. There is so much that we could ponder in the passages that we've had over the last few weeks on the Gospels. The way in which Jesus fulfills the words of the law and of the prophets. The importance of a relationship between repentance and forgiveness. The promise of the Holy Spirit and many more. What strikes me today is that Jesus' statement, "You are witnesses to these things." As we know, and particularly if you watch the programmes on the law, witnesses are those people who have seen and experienced something. Witnesses are also those who are called upon to tell what they have seen. We are called to be witnesses, which I can tell makes some of us really nervous and quite afraid. We aren't sure what exactly it is that we're supposed to have seen or experienced. Or we aren't sure that we can put it into words. Or we don't want to appear pushy about our faith, particularly at the moment when nobody wants to hear anything about God, yet they're desperately seeking for something. Do we fear being changed? Or perhaps we're convinced that we have no capacity to be faithful and fulfill our witness. Yet Jesus' words are clear. We are called to be witnesses to the activity of God in our lives, both mundane and miraculous. And when it comes to it, that means we all really have to say, "Here's what I saw, here's how it went, make of it what you will." I always remember Ian used to say, "Tell them and offer it with an open hand. It's up to them whether they choose to accept what you're telling them." Jesus tells his friends that they are to be witnesses. He asks us too, as we sang at the beginning, to sing the wondrous story of all that Christ has done for us. And I pray to be a faithful witness of the resurrection and good news about the forgiveness of sins. So perhaps we need to pray and ponder, do we need a fresh emboldening of the Holy Spirit? We ask daily for a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses to all that Christ has done. In each of those moments, the one who is fully alive and risen, our Lord, is calling us to see and to recognize him, to join him and to discover our new lives. This is the authentic self that we long to become, the self that we already are, and the self that we are becoming. This is resurrected life. So let's not forget this passage. Let's not forget our call. It's so easy to come here each Sunday, listen to the gospel, hear whatever's said, and then return to life as normal. We can't let that happen. We have a purpose, an opportunity. Our lives, the lives of those who need to hear, are too important to let that happen. So pray over this passage this week. Let it open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to the life Christ is offering us. Let it be the voice of Christ, opening our minds to understand. Let us see waiting as preparation. Let's sit with him, pray with him, wrestle with all that he's asking of us, but ultimately that we would trust him. For we are witnesses of these things, Jesus says to us. Tell it, live it. The resurrected life is ours. We are his witnesses. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the amazing truth that you are with us always. Help us to welcome and recognize your presence in our lives daily. In times of joy, times of sorrow, times of difficulty, and times of temptation. As we prepare ourselves to gather around our Lord's table, just take this time to ponder. Have we drifted away from him? Take this time to affirm your commitment, that we would allow and decide that he can prepare us for whatever he has for us. God is always at work in us, preparing us for what lies ahead. Lord, may we pause and reflect on the ways that we know that you are at work in us at this moment. Lord, do we need to be emboldened? Do we need more of your Holy Spirit? Do we need to cooperate more with the gift of your Holy Spirit? Help us to know through your Holy Spirit that you are ready and willing to give us guidance and peace and wisdom. Fill us again now and empower us to fulfill your great commission to share your good news. Lord, may your Spirit move in mighty power throughout your church, both in the nations and across the world. Amen. So we turn to number 381. Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Jesus is in the restoration business. Hallelujah. As we have been journeying with him over these last weeks since Easter, that's how deep the Father's love is for each and every one of us. Through Jesus' death and glorious resurrection, as we gather around his table at his invitation, we too, each one of us, can have a new beginning. God desires repentance and the acceptance of his forgiveness as we can continue serving him. As we've been sharing, our Lord used Thomas's doubts despite his doubts. He recommissioned Peter despite his denial. And he wants to use each one of us as well. These encounters are an example for us. For our God is a God of second chances. And in some cases, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. He wants to use us despite our doubts and fears, our insecurities. God is gracious to those who believe in him and declare Jesus as their Lord. As we gather around our Lord's table, it puts us in our place, opening our hands and receiving the recommission of our sins, which is our salvation. We take in our hands the bread and the cup. In doing so, we are prompted to remember Christ's death in our place, his grace in action. And so we pray. Thomas needed to understand that he was not tied to or identified by his past. How many of us also need to hear and to understand and experience that again and again, as if it was for the very first time? In John's account of Jesus appearing to the disciples, we are reminded of the way we continually turn away from Jesus, forgetting his love, his promises and power as we are consumed with our lives, material things and so much more. And yet he's always there to call us back and forgive us and provide us with life in abundance. The most wonderful thing about these encounters is that Jesus came to them. He didn't come right away. He lets us wrestle with our doubts and our fears and our unbelief. Lord, save us from ourselves. We continue to do the same things over and over again, expecting different results. Lord, save us from doing too much. We go seeking every day, not noticing you waiting with your arms open wide. Lord, save us from doing too little. We say that we love you, and yet so often we neglect one another. Lord, save us from ourselves. Help us to hear and respond when you say, "Follow me." Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus, you offered us a guide to that life and hope. In his living, his teaching, and his dying, he offered us ways to look at each other, to help us seek your face. Your love resurrected the word, fixing the boundaries of death, giving eternal life. Thank you, loving God. Lord Jesus, as we open our hands in front of us, we receive life from you today. Forgiveness, hope, healing, and peace. Life to the full. Through your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to your word and your purpose for each of us and your church. Transform us so that our doubts and fears are not a hindrance to those who need an encounter with you today and every day. Amen. As we share Paul's words to the church at Corinth, he writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves." And so we come, just ask the Holy Spirit just to prompt us before we share the bread and the cup. Nowhere does it say that we cannot share together. We share and believe that when Jesus told us to eat the bread and drink the cup together, remember him, that he invites everyone to his table for forgiveness, restoration, renewal, especially those who are far away from him, who have forgotten his love and his hope for us, that we would do the same for others. Remembering Jesus' life, his death, his glorious resurrection, we offer you, gracious God, this bread and this cup, thankful that you have invited us into the intimate, everlasting, ever-loving relationship in your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit, already fulfilling all things and places and people, might continue to transform us to become more like you. In this holy moment, in this bread and cup, may we too be reminded that Christ is with us. Amen. Christ is risen and opens our minds to the truth of God. Here in this bread and cup, we see the fulfillment of all things. Come, for now all is ready. As we wait in God's presence, as instructed, as we receive the bread and cup, we pray again that God would clothe us with power from on high to be his witnesses in our community and to the world. As you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your own individual response to Christ. When you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign that we are part of Christ's family. Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This is the cup of suffering. This is the cup of good news. This is the cup of hope. And so we drink it in remembrance, the blood of Christ given for you. So we pray. Go now, empowered by the Spirit, to carry the message of repentance and forgiveness to all nations. Lord Jesus, we thank you for extending your grace to each one of us who believe in you, even though we fail you often. This is what your grace enables: loving Jesus, loving our neighbour, and living as Jesus lived. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our soul and body to be a living sacrifice for you. Come, Holy Spirit, send us out in your power to live and serve, so that all praise and glory goes back to you, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. We say our closing hymn shouldn't just be for Easter, it should be for every day. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son, number 689.
Thank you.
I want to hear that belted out every time I walk around the estate. I don't care which window it comes out of. Let's pray. You are our God. You are our Father. You have the power, the purpose, and the honour. We go now in the knowledge of your love, your truth, and your glory. We go now in the strength of your word, in the power of your Holy Spirit, to name him as Lord of all. Amen.